All right. I'd like to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon us this morning. Thank you for all that you do for us. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom. Help us be faithful to you. Again, we thank you for all that you do. Help us attend to your word this morning. As we press forward, Lord, just give us courage. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 12. What I want to talk about this morning is overcoming, being an overcomer. I want to read this verse, or these I want to read a little more here. Begin in verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, give with liberality. He who leads, with diligence, and he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Probably go back over some of this, what we're talking about here this morning. There's a lot of real encouragement here as far as a church is concerned. One of the things that it points out is that we're different. We have different abilities. We have different responsibilities. Just like the body. The body is referred to many times in the Bible, and the hand has some different thing than the foot. The elbow works different than the knee. There's different places in the body, but yet it all works together. And I think that's what the point of that he's trying to get across here. And he gives the different things, the different gifts that God's grace has bestowed upon us. And we're each to carry out our own gift. We're so worried sometimes about whether everyone else is doing their part or that we are doing the same part, that we forget just to take care of our responsibility. If our body started acting, one part of our body just decided it wanted to do something different or began worrying about another part of the body, we'd be a mess. But whenever every part just functions the way it's supposed to, it just works. Not because they're all trying to make it work together, or not because they're trying to force things to work together. Everybody's just doing their part. And when everything does its part, it works. We like to control things. We like to make sure everything is being done the way it's supposed to. We might like to make sure that the toe is over there wiggling whenever it's supposed to, when we're a finger. But when we start doing that, we're not doing our part, and so parts down the row get all messed up. That's the whole thing when churches try to manufacture love, when they try to manufacture unity. What we're trying to do is to convince the body to do something and work together instead of having each individual doing their part. And it will work together. And it's just really that simple. And there's a lot of talk in the Bible about that. We who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. I want to turn just a little bit to Romans chapter 14. We've read many times verse 1. It says, "Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord. For he gives thanks to God, and he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us will give an account to God for himself. Therefore, let us not judge one another any more, but rather determine this, not to put a stumbling block, not an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way." All right. Overcoming. How does that tie with overcoming? Each one of us will give an account to God. You know, I've noticed that as we come from different settings, sometimes we begin to find things that God wants from us, requires of us to do, that we didn't know about before. And so we find new precepts or new teachings that God has. And usually one of the first reactions once we start applying those things is to begin to look down at the others who aren't doing it yet. And so we're all zealous and we're out trying to teach and try to show everybody why we ought to be doing this or that. That's just the way it works. That's zeal. That's youth. That we're young, we've found something new, and we want everyone to experience it. And so we began trying to offer it to everyone, whether they want it or not, whether they will listen to it or not. We just began to make sure everyone understands what we now understand. And we can quickly develop an attitude of being looking down our noses at people who aren't doing what we're doing. We were called where we were called from. We each came from our own place. We came from where we were at. And as we learn, God has given us the grace to hear Him, to understand, and we should keep it right there. That it's not our place now to just look down on everyone who hasn't done what we've been doing or what we've taught or what we've always known. It's not our place to look out at other people. Our place is to make sure that we have a heart that loves one another. And it's so easy to be critical of someone not doing what we've learned how to do. On the other hand, sometimes we learn liberty. We learn new liberties that maybe someone else may not be able to understand. Sometimes we've held on to something or had something that we thought was wrong, and someone else comes along and discovers that it was just a rule. And it had nothing to do really with following the Lord. And so we find a liberty in being set free from some of the things that some of the bondages that we've encumbered. The same attitude has to apply when we find a liberty, that we don't try to force our liberty on someone else, just like we wouldn't try to force one of our rules on someone else. We've got to be patient. We've got to do our part while someone else may not be able to do it. We've got to do what we have to do while someone else may not have to do what we have to do. We all have a different place. We all have different gifts, different stations, different positions in life, different maturities in life. But the one who overcomes, just like overcoming evil, is the one who's able to allow other people to learn, to allow other people to hear or grow the way we were allowed to grow. It's just, we didn't get where we are overnight. You didn't learn the position you're at now overnight. Sometimes, even within the last year, we've changed. And then we have a tendency to expect other people to be right where we are this year, when last year it was maybe a little different than it was last year. And if we have that attitude, that everybody ought to be right where I am now. It's we have more to learn. This liberty is what we've been called to. Freedom to follow the Lord is what we've been called to. In Galatians chapter 5, it was for freedom, verse 1, that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Whenever we think of that, we talked a little about that last week. When we talk of bondage, we think of someone in bondage to sin. Which, it does mean that. Don't be in bondage. The things in this world that are trying to entice us bring us into bondage. They may look like freedom. They may feel like you've just been liberated. But oftentimes it just brings you into another bondage that we don't even really realize for a while. If people would realize the bondage, the end of bondage, and the beginning of bondage, there'd be a lot less people in it. There's a lot of people that would like to be set free from things that they are involved in, that realize now that the chains are too thick, the chains are too heavy for them. And they find themselves trapped in a way that they don't know how to get out of it. The Lord does set us free. That's why He came, to set us free. But not everyone sees that all at once. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. He's not trying to bring us into bondage of laws and rules. He's trying to bring us in to the bondage of love. Set us free. We look at what we used to could do or what we can't do, and we look around at other people and see that they're able to do something I can't do, or they're doing something that, or they're not doing something that I can do. And we need to make sure we look at this through freedom, through the eyes of mercy and love. Jesus called us to overcome. That's what the teachings of Jesus are all about. Freedom. You know, we look at the teachings where Jesus taught us to turn the other cheek. What was He teaching us? Just so we'd be guppies? Just so we'd be someone pushovers? Just pacifist? Weak people? That's not what He taught us those things for. He taught us those things so that we could overcome. When someone slaps you on one cheek, the natural thing, if we would think of overcoming, would be to give it right back to them twice as hard and defeat them. That's the idea of the world whenever they think about overcoming. And all that does is bring you in bondage to the next person who's a little bigger than you are or they were. And you're just continually having to fight and fight and fight. You become a slave to defending yourself. But to overcome the way Jesus taught was not to overcome evil with evil, but to overcome evil with good. So that when someone slaps you on the face, it may hurt. It may cause you some pain. May do some damage to you. But the way you overcome that is to rise above the human level and go towards godliness and the divine level. To rise above those things. That's how you overcome this world. You don't overcome it by just trying real hard not to do something wrong. You overcome it by doing things the way the Lord would want you to do them. Whenever we Jesus called us into this liberty, into this freedom to overcome the world. The Bible talks about he that overcomes. He's the one that will be delivered. And the way we overcome is by doing things the way the Lord would want us to. We overcome ourselves. We overcome our bondages by yielding ourselves to the Lord. Romans 14, again. Overcoming is not just overcoming a rule, overcoming a bondage. Overcoming is overcoming ourselves. I'm just going to read some more of this again. Wait a minute, I want 12. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 12. Verse 3 this time. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Whenever we overcome something, or we're liberated from something, and we look at others who are still bound by it, we then put ourselves, we begin to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Our liberty is often, we take that pridefully. And we begin to look at others, and we begin to look at ourselves as we've accomplished something or we've gained something, and we begin to look down on others. People who keep laws look down on people who don't. People who are liberated often look down on those who are in bondage because we've exalted ourselves. But when each of us look at our own lives and realize that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that I'm not the judge over my brother. I have enough to take care of myself. Not to think of someone more highly than he ought to. It's easier for us to see flaws in others. Usually, the thing we see most in others is the thing that is the biggest problem in our own lives. That's why we're talking about this overcoming. Not just overcoming rules, not just overcoming things that have bound us, but overcoming our hearts. Realizing that we're just a member of this body. We're just a portion. And what we have has been given to us by grace in the first place. I mean, who put you in your position of life? Did you create that all by yourself? Did you have a choice in where you were born and what family you were born into? Did you have a choice how you were trained, how you were brought up? No. And if you were brought up well and trained well, all the more reason that you should look at that not as a position, but as a humble blessing that God has given you. Maybe your life's been hard. Maybe you've really had to struggle and overcome some things. Maybe your life still is hard. You don't realize how big a blessing that is. That God has chosen you to go through things, to give you strength, to learn. You know, we often think of someone having it easy as having it made. It's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. What are we trying to overcome? We're trying to overcome ourselves. I've often thought, you know, what if? I mean, why was it that I was born here and who I was? I could have just as easily been brought up in the worst situation in the world, brought up in some jungle somewhere, taught to worship a monkey. The humility of just taking the position that God has given us, being gracious and grateful in it, and just doing what we're supposed to do. A lot of times we think humility is acting like we can't do something when we can. That's just pride in itself. There's people that can do things, and they ought to do them because that's their responsibility. Just like it's talking about, since the gifts differ according to the grace given to us, each one of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the portion of his faith. If someone can see what's going on, should he stick his head in the sand and say, "Oh, I don't want to be proud. If I call this one, or I say that, because they'll just think I'm proud." It says to exercise what's been given to you. If we don't exercise what we have, guess what? We lose it. If you don't do physical strength, in your body shows you that if you don't exercise, you get weaker and weaker and weaker, and it's harder and harder. Do what you can. Maybe you can't do much, but exercise the gift that you've got. Maybe that gift that you have is nothing more than just learning to be patient or being patient, waiting on God. Exercise what He gives you. Maybe you're going through a hard time. You can exercise those things. If in service, in His serving. If God has given you nothing more than just being a servant, then you be a servant. Because the body needs all of those parts. The body needs them all. There's plenty of things to do just being a servant. Oh, I don't want to be doing too much, and everybody will think I'm proud. Just do what you're supposed to do. Exercise the gift that God has given you. Overcome yourself. In teaching, or he who teaches, in teaching. Most of us want to be teachers. I just remember one time preacher talking about how he was at church and And everyone was saying, oh, you know, I can't teach. Don't call on me to teach. Oh, you know, I don't want to be proud. Because that's taught as humility. And I just remember the guy saying, let me teach. I want to teach. He was glad to. And everyone probably thought he was full of pride for saying something like that. We have plenty of volunteers. A lot of times people who want to teach who don't need to be teaching. They need to learn that if they're called to be quiet, they ought to just be quiet. Goes both ways. For he who exhorts in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. Liberality. If that's all you do is give, I mean, God has blessed us. And if maybe you don't have very many gifts. Giving can be one of them, and it's just part of it. Your time. You don't have to be just money. That's part of it. And he who leads with diligence. And he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You know, some people, maybe there's more than others. Maybe some people have more of these than others, than just one. But sometimes maybe the only thing you got is one. And sometimes maybe you're in a place where, because you can't do anything or can't keep up or can't do everything like everybody else, the way you overcome is being merciful. It's not the guy that's out there doing everything that's overcoming. The one that overcomes is often the one that is kicked back, pushed down. And his way of overcoming is not rising to the top and performing. But his way of overcoming is being merciful and doing it cheerfully. We think because we've learned something, we're trying to teach someone else. Well, a lot of times the person that's being taught is the one that's feeling left behind. We see the person out front as being the one learning something new and going on. But it's often the one that hasn't learned it that gets the opportunity to overcome by being patient and merciful. Cheerfully. Not just, oh, I got to forgive them again. But overcoming. Verse 1 in chapter 12 says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We did that all backwards. What is good and acceptable and perfect is overcoming. Not performing. Not having this being the one out front all the time. Not being the one learning the new things. But to learn to present your body a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. That is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to the world. You see, the world overcomes the way they overcome. The overcomer, the one who loves the Lord, has their mind renewed, and they overcome the Lord's way. They overcome by being a sacrifice. That's acceptable to the Lord. May the Lord add His blessings. May we strive to be overcomers. Lord, I bless.